You're listening to Family Business with Daphne, and I'm so excited. This is our first simulcast today. Shout out to all of you all watching this on ABC and simulcast on 103.9 KDKI. And today I'm so excited because we're going to be talking about immigrants, refugees, and transplants? Starting a family business, really? Yes! So I've spent an entire week talking to successful immigrant entrepreneurs, and I'm just so excited to share with you the lessons that I've been learning in all of my interviews. So if you're new to Daphne and to this show, Family Business with Daphne, let me tell you a little bit about my story and my connection to running an immigrant business. I'm originally from Liberia, West Africa. And unfortunately, many of you may know about my country because of the Ebola crisis. It hit us hard, and I still have most of my family members in Liberia. So I grew up in Liberia, one of the poorest nations in Africa. And my parents definitely had an inkling that war was coming. And so we were all trying to get visas to get out of the country. For some reason, I was the only one able to get a visa. So I was able to get out of Liberia, and I went to London, where I went to school and was raised by a very kind host family for several years. After that experience, I was able to make my way to the United States and eventually reunited with the rest of my family here in the U.S. Entrepreneurship was my saving grace. I didn't know to call it the E word back then. I just figured this is how you survive. You learn how to be a leader. You learn how to create something from nothing. This is what all immigrants do, right? Didn't know that that was called entrepreneurship. And definitely followed different people's ideas of what I should be doing in life. You know, when I went to Brown, I had not one, not two, I had like three majors because I was trying to prove myself as this African who was blessed to be in this country. I had, you know, the streets of gold at my fingertips, and I had to accomplish the American dream. So I got accepted to Duke Medical School. I taught for a year. I eventually went to law school, on and on and on. But I definitely had within my heart the entire time, hands down, no doubt, that I wanted to be my own boss. I wanted to actually be the boss of other people. So I decided eventually that I was going to launch my own enterprise. And it didn't seem foreign to me as an immigrant, because that's pretty much what I had been doing all along. I was learning how to fend for myself. So flash forward, I'm now writing for Entrepreneur Magazine, the Huffington Post, all of these different outlets, and I get to interview amazingly successful people. And most recently, I have been writing on this topic of immigrant entrepreneurship. And what I want to do today is share with you some of the lessons, the hopes, the inspirations, the stories behind some of these interviews, and just encourage you to think about building your own business. And because you're listening to Family Business with Daphne, my goal is to make the case. So I guess at some point I have to use my law degree, right? I want to make this case to you that you should absolutely consider launching a family business, especially if you are an immigrant. And I have some reasons why. So before we get into all of that, let me make sure I give you some information on me where you can learn more. First and foremost, you have to go to my blog, daphnemallory.blogspot.com. That's where I definitely have all of my writings. I share my tidbits, my strategies, tips, et cetera, et cetera. But in addition to that, make sure you like my Facebook page, Daphne Mallory ESQ. Do not forget the ESQ. There's some wonderful Black women on Facebook named Daphne Mallory. That's great. But they're not writing on family business, and that's not me. So make sure you add the ESQ and like my page, and you get to find out about my adventures, you know, behind the scenes of this stuff and everything else I'm up to. So on Facebook, also on LinkedIn, you can connect with me there. But let's jump into this topic of immigration, refugees, the transplants, maybe even the outcasts. Starting a family business, what would that look like? Radio Shack. Who does not know Radio Shack? Except, you know, if you're my global audience, I know that I connect with many people around the world. So Radio Shack is this amazing business in the U.S., selling all things home technology, including mobile devices. Well, Radio Shack was started by immigrant entrepreneurs, brothers, two brothers. So not only is it an immigration-run business, it's a family-owned and operated business. And I can go on and on with other examples, successful examples of businesses around the world who are both immigrants and family-owned and operated. It can be done, and you should do it too. Why? Okay, so you're an immigrant, and you're thrust into a new culture. Some of you have left so many things behind. I know my story. I was not taking a bunch of stuff with me to London, right? No, I was getting out of the country. I started in a new country in poverty. I wasn't living in poverty, by the way, in Liberia, not at all. I'm like, look, how can I get back to that point? But I was thrust into poverty when I left my country. Well, poverty, to me, in my experience, and as I've spoken to many other entrepreneurs, equals creativity. When you are poor, you are creative. Let me tell you something. You know how to make something from nothing. You know how to thrive, and you know how to get by. And the number one trait of an entrepreneur is not even leadership. It's creativity. How creative are you? How resourceful are you? Can you take an idea and have absolutely $0 in your bank account and take that idea and transform it into something that makes money for yourself, for your family, for your employees, for your community, on and on and on? That's creativity. And you learn that kind of quickly as an immigrant or a refugee, sometimes even as a citizen in a country, but you're like a transplant in a new community. So even if you're not an immigrant or you are 2, 3, 4 generations removed, don't think this show is not for you. No, I know what it's like to move from a completely different city or state. I mean, my goodness, I've lived in Anchorage, Alaska, and now I'm living in Idaho. Hello, I'm a transplant. I had to start from the beginning. I had to learn how to network and establish new relationships. So this applies as well. Can you be creative? Of course you can as an immigrant. So add to that entrepreneurship now. How do I take my idea and make something of it when I have nothing? Now, for those of you who I've piqued your interest, maybe you're not an immigrant, but you don't understand this whole like, okay, how do you make something out of nothing? When you are an immigrant, you don't have credit. And what's the number one thing you hear, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, when you're starting a business? Oh, make sure you have good credit. Well, that's typically not really an option for immigrants. There's no credit. There's nothing. There is self-reliance and making it work. And for that, you must be creative. So that would be my number one reason for why you should go ahead and think about starting a business if you're an immigrant, refugee, or transplant. Now, why start a family business? Why not just venture into business alone? And there are amazing stories of immigrants who have done this, by the way, who have generated millions of dollars. I spoke to one this week. He's the owner of a natural foods company, started with nothing and has 700, that's 700 employees, all in the organic foods market. He's not from a country that supports quote unquote organic foods per se. It's something that he pioneered in this country as an immigrant. And he has 700 employees to date, okay? So, but he's very successful. But why am I advocating doing this with your family and not just by yourself? So when I interviewed some of those successful immigrant entrepreneurs this week, none of them, by the way, were in a family business. I asked that question, hey, why didn't you start this with your parents? And the perception was that because their parents saw that they wanted their children to take that next step. And I know you're with me. Those of you who are immigrants, you're like, yep, the next step is medical school. It is always medical school. It's like there's a tier system, right? Medical school and then law school and then whatever, the teacher. Yep, you're either a doctor, a lawyer, or a teacher. And, you know, you've made your parents proud, right? And so the parents then did not want to, quote unquote, trap their children in a family business, because most of those immigrant families launched a restaurant business. And they associated that with, well, that's just the first step of what you do in America. And we don't want to keep our children back in a restaurant. So we let them go off and do their own thing. Now, I understand that. I understand the need for wanting to have your children have a better life, quote unquote, than you did. I think what's missing, and here's my contribution, I'm just going to insert myself into the conversation here and try to change minds about this, is that if you are an immigrant family, perhaps, yes, you're starting with a restaurant business, corner store, or gas station, fine. Did you know that family businesses can own multiple family businesses? Do you know that you can have businesses in several different industries? That you can have one corporation that becomes a holding corporation for all of these different kinds of businesses? So yes, you start your family business and you decide, okay, I want to start a restaurant business, which is great. Okay, that's business number one. But then you decide business number two will be something in technology, something completely unrelated, completely innovative, completely creative, something in line with the passions and interests and desires of my, you know, children. Then yes, absolutely, you could go ahead and do that. And it doesn't mean that you have to be, quote unquote, stuck in just one industry. You can become a Maloof company. I don't know if some of you are aware of who the Maloofs were. They are a family-owned media conglomerate, among other things, but they own basketball teams even. Did you know you can own a basketball team as a family business? This family business does. Think of the Trump Organization. Not only do they own skyscrapers and hotels and all these developments, they own The Apprentice Show. So don't box yourself in as a family business. You can own and operate different companies under one holding company. My dream, my empiristic dream for my children would be if there was one holding company and then each child would have their own separate company, or maybe more like 10 each. So that'd be like 40. That's good. That's wonderful. That's what I'm talking about. That's family business right there. What's your dream? Dream big. Don't think small. Don't think boxed in. Don't think limited. And I think that's where a lot of immigrant parents make the mistake, that they think, well, I don't want to trap my children. You won't trap your children. What you will be doing is helping them. So think about yourself as an immigrant entrepreneur in this country with no networks, right? And think about the groundwork and the work you have had to do to establish a network of peers, friends, colleagues, workers, etc. Now think about your children each having to do that again. Why? If you've done that and you do that successfully for your business, leverage that for them in a family business. That's all I'm saying. That's my case. So poverty breeds creativity. And when you are creative as an entrepreneur, that's where your success lies. You need to be resourceful and you have to have the ability to create something out of nothing. And I'm saying, as an immigrant, refugee, or transplant in a new culture with nothing to your name, this is not a problem. This is your advantage. This is absolutely where you shine. So go for it. And the second reason that I'm very pro-immigrant families launching businesses together, not apart, is that you get to leverage and support one another. That's the thing, right? You're in this new country, in this new city, in this new community by yourself. Who else is going to support you? Really, who else is going to have your back but family? Why divide yourself, your time and your energy into all of these different directions? This person working, you know, 16-hour shifts over there. That person only focusing on school over there. And this other person maybe has the vision to start a business, and so they're all alone trying to build this thing up today, over there by themselves. Why not bring all of those energies together? So yes, you support the person who is working the 16-hour shift because, hey, maybe that's what needs to happen for now. But then you're all kind of budgeting, stretching your dollars, making sure that that person who's working that 16-hour shift has a good home environment to return to, that they have some rest, that, you know, the children are taken care of so they can rest, so they can go to work or whatever, et cetera. And then maybe you're supporting the person who's at school, ensuring that they are able to focus on their studies while still perhaps contributing back to the family in other ways. And then maybe you're both pulling time, energy, and resources to that other person who's struggling over there trying to build a business. Pull your energy and resources together. So when I came to the U.S. and I lived in Providence, Rhode Island, where there's a huge Liberian community, there's also a huge Hispanic community. It was very common. I lived in a very low income neighborhood that in apartments, you would see family members, a lot of family members under one roof. And that's how it got started. So you'd have one family who would settle in an area, let's say with an apartment. And you would have in this 2-3 bedroom apartment, 3-5 families. Not siblings, not cousins. I mean, like entire family units in this 1-3 bedroom apartment. Why? Because they were pooling resources together. Didn't you know what happened over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, what you'd see in that neighborhood? They would all own entire blocks of that neighborhood. Everyone had a house on that street and the next street over and the next street over. And one of those had the corner store and then the other one had the gas station and the other one had the restaurant and it just multiplied. What was that principle? They were pulling together their energy, their resources. They were operating like a family, a huge family business, but they pulled together their resources. That's what you need to do. Now, look, do not write me. I did not say go find 4 or 5 families to move in with. I am telling you what you need to do is pull your resources together in some way, even if you decide to do it from afar and do it in a very posh manner with legal agreements. I don't care. Figure out a way to pull your resources together as a family so that you can help one another out in your entrepreneurial ventures, period. And immigrants do this well. I've seen this not only in the Latino community, I've seen it in my own West African community. We don't do it as well, though. We need to get better at getting along. So yes, I'm allowed to say that as a West African, we have some problems and we typically just like to stay alone in our own apartments for that reason. But if you can make it work, go for it. Pull your resources and get together. And so that's another unique advantage of an immigrant family-owned and operated business. So you're thinking, oh my goodness, this is way too much. Some of you might be watching this and listening to this through a translator. And you're like, I don't even speak English. And you want me to do what in this country? So listen carefully and translate it correctly. This is what I'm saying. Yes. I don't care what the barrier is, including not speaking the language. In fact, I know amazingly successful entrepreneurs who don't speak English well, who are just doing, so much money, making so much money in the tech field. It's ridiculous. It is insane the amount of money they're making Because that's not a problem. What is an entrepreneur? An entrepreneur knows how to build teams. Well, if your weak area to date is not being able to speak the language well, guess who you hire? You hire someone who can. Now, you're like, I don't have money, Daphne. How do I hire them? There are ways to get people to work for you initially without paying them. Many partnerships, great partnerships, people who went on to make lots of money later on said, you see that mobile app device? I think that thing is going to make money. This person can't pay me today, but boy, can I negotiate 10, 20, 30% of whatever we make once this thing does sell well, once it does become big? Yeah, I'll do that. I can see this being the next thing, the next platform, the next advancement in social media, the next whatever. Yeah, I'll do that. There are attorneys that do this. They will take on clients. Clients cannot pay them anything. So they say, okay, that's all right. I get 10%. I'll do all your legal work. I'll do all your paperwork. Yeah, this gets done in business. It gets done in business a lot. In fact, a famous business trainer once said what he learned from building a business with other team members is to find out who would be willing to work with him for free. And he would only partner with those who was willing to work with him for free, because he understood that they had that mindset of not the, you know, quick, give me money now today, but they had a long-term view. Now, am I saying you should go work for someone for free? May not work for you. May not make sense. I'm saying, though, that option is on the table if you understand how to pitch and sell your ideas, get people motivated, help them understand the vision, have a good idea. Don't say, oh, yeah, you know, work for me 16-hour days in this restaurant business for the next 5 years, and then I'll pay you year six. That's ridiculous. But if you're like, I have a movie idea, I have experience in the movie industry, maybe in my own country, and there are lots of people like that here in the U.S. with prior business and industry experience from other countries, and you kind of lay it out, and you make a deal and you say, hey, let's split this X amount of ways for now because I don't have money to pay you. People may buy into your vision and you may be able to bring on team members. Find team members that can help build you up in the areas where you need improvement, including language. Language should never be an issue for any entrepreneur. If worse comes to worse, use Google Translation. Just sit there next to each other side by side and start typing away. Have Google translate it. I would not rely on that for maybe your major deals, though. You might want to get somebody professional. But day-to-day interaction, if worse comes to worse, there you go. I speak to people via Skype in other countries all the time. And if I get stuck, I go to the dictionary. And I've kind of messed up a couple of times. And then they laughed and fixed it for me. And it was all good. Language is not a barrier. And even if you're like, you've been in the U.S. since you were 4 years old and you speak perfect English, well, guess what? You are living in a world and your market is global. You're going to be doing business with people from other countries. Did you know that? Did you know that your market goes beyond the U.S.? So this is not just for immigrants and refugees. This is for you. Mr. and Mrs. Entrepreneur born and raised in the U.S., you're going to have to get used to talking to people in India, China, different parts of Africa. You might need to learn a little bit of French or at least know how to, you know, pick up a dictionary here and there. So this is for all of us. We need to start thinking about our business world as being global. It's not just our city. It's not just our state. And it's not just those people with the language problem. Not today. Not if you want to be successful in family business. So I know that was a lot to think about. That was a lot to chew on, but it's important. When I made that mindset myself, when I understood, oh, my customers are all over the world. Whoa. And I'm in Twin Falls, Idaho. I mean, it did take a little bit for me to really really get that. Once I made that mind shift, then opportunities absolutely opened up all around the world. And if you don't have that as your mindset, you're going to lose. And business is about winning. Period. So if you're an immigrant entrepreneur thinking, oh my goodness, money is an issue, language barrier is an issue, culture is an issue. A funny story, I was interviewing an Australian entrepreneur recently who told me he would go to meetings and he would talk about, he would make a reference to a product about, and he would say, oh, that's Mickey Mouse. And he would say that in reverence, like Mickey Mouse, because that's a great thing in Australia. And his peers would all look at him like, is he trying to say that something is silly or comical? They weren't getting it. And it was just an example of just cultural translation. Sometimes we all get lost in translation and trying to understand different cultures and different sayings. And, you know, sometimes two cultures can butt heads. There are some quirks that I have about me. And I think people think, my goodness, is this woman mean? Is she like really diva-ish? And it's like, no, that's just a cultural thing. That's what you do as part of my culture. And so, yeah, there are definitely times where cultures kind of collide. For me, I think it's fun. It makes those moments exciting. But I don't think that you should shrink back. I don't think that that should deter you or make you feel discouraged or withdrawn because, oh my goodness, people don't understand me. Or this entrepreneur, for instance, said, when I'm in meetings, I'm very low key because Australians are low key. Well, then his team members, they weren't taking him seriously because they're like, oh, this guy's always relaxed. What's wrong with him? That's just, as he explained it to me, that's the Australian way. We're relaxed. And, you know, so he will talk in a very low key manner and mean business. And they're just like, wow, he's cool. He's whatever, lackadaisical. He's like, no, I'm being serious. So you'll find those different clashes. I've experienced those myself, but don't let that deter you. And you'll learn the cultural norms as you go along the way. So what are some examples then of immigrant family businesses that aren't just restaurants? Now, okay, did you hear me say I don't like restaurants? I love restaurants, okay? I'm a big fan of restaurants. I personally could not run and operate a restaurant because of the time commitment being on site, at least in the initial stages until you can hire a separate management team and all of that. I would not work well in a restaurant business. It's not my call, but it might be your call, and that's fine. But I think a lot of immigrants think if I need to start a family business, it must be a restaurant business. There are other opportunities. So let me kind of give you a view of the people I've been interviewing for the last, I don't know, 2-3 weeks on this topic of immigrant entrepreneurship. So I've talked about technology and how a lot of reverse innovation is happening from these immigrants from other countries coming in, and they're creating amazing platforms. So I spoke to one company today. And they are immigrant entrepreneurs from the Ukraine and have created a platform. So you know how you watch those YouTube videos and they just happen to drop a product name or they're reviewing it or they're singing about it or it's all over the video. And you're like, wow, they must just really be loyal to that brand. Mm-mm. That is all sponsorship. That is all planned. That's how a lot of YouTubers make their money. So you have a company that says, well, people don't really watch ads anymore on TV, but you can get about, I don't know, 20 million views on a little boy shaking a can of whatever with his cat. So me, big company, I'll go find that little boy, place the product in that little boy's parents' hands for, I don't know, $10,000, have them create a little video, watch it go viral, and that's my new form of advertising. What this company does is says, okay, we'll go find the YouTubers for you, company. You tell us what you need, and we'll put you two together. That's all the business is. A tech platform to connect the YouTubers with the sponsorship company. Period. immigrant entrepreneurs. Easy company. I shouldn't say easy company, not a restaurant business, right? Something that you could do with a nimble but small staff. You don't have to man the thing 16 hours straight. And as long as you have the technology in place, you just start doing deal makings and you put things in pieces together, period. That's an example. Think about entertainment. Think about all of the music that's coming out. Well, a lot of new music happening online and offline are coming from immigrants who are launching their own record labels and entertainment companies. That's another revenue source. That's another family business opportunity and immigration business opportunity started by immigrants. What about teaching? Okay, so you know, I had on my list earlier, you know, you come to this country, you become a doctor, a lawyer, and then if worse comes to worse, teacher. That's the perception. That's the stereotype. And I love all three professions. Not for me, that's not my path. But what I'm saying about that is that unfortunately, so many children who come here as refugees or immigrants, they feel limited to those three, even when it's not their calling. So what could be their calling? What are some other opportunities besides tech and besides music, besides entertainment? You can still teach, but what if you leverage teaching in a different way? What if it was a training program? What if it was a platform? What if it was a new curriculum, a new way of teaching, a new model, a new system? Immigrants are innovating in the education field. Of course they are. Think about STEM education. A lot of you know that I'm a huge STEM advocate. What is STEM? Science, technology, engineering, and math. Teaching those skills, again, revitalizing those skills among students. I think about a brother team from South Africa, two brothers from South Africa who started a franchise. And basically their whole franchise is going into these youth programs, camps, after school programs, etc., teaching STEM, science, technology, engineering, math to students. But they don't sit there and do it themselves. No, they are a franchise. So they go to communities or they go to teachers and they say, you buy this franchise and you go implement this in your community. So that's education. What if you do want to pursue medicine? Healthcare. Oh my goodness. If you are looking to come into an industry that is extremely profitable, look at the healthcare industry. I know of an immigrant family who is in the home health care industry. For those of you who don't know, home health care, basically, it's where you provide activities of daily living assistance to the elderly. So you're helping them with personal grooming, with groceries, with chores, maybe transportation to medical appointments, et cetera, et cetera. And that's very natural for a lot of immigrant families who, when they come to this country, stay with their aging parents and take care of them in their homes. That is very common, very typical. You know, I'm, again, from where I'm from in Liberia, we don't have a system of a nursing home. Everyone takes care of their elderly. So they're often, your aging parents are often living with you in your home. So it's very natural then to segue into something like the home health industry, where you're providing the same level of care to others. That's another industry. So I could go on. And probably what I'll do is I'll create a blog post for you on my blog, daphnemallory.blogspot.com. And I might just throw in 100 business ideas that you can start as an immigrant entrepreneur who wants to launch a family business. I think I'll do that for you all, because the possibility are limitless. It could go on and on and on. And you should really give this some thought. Why? I want to return to the why. I want you to consider this. I know firsthand how hard it is to try to struggle on my own to build and form my own social networks. And I'm not talking Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. I'm talking about networks of people in my community where I can go to them to get needs met, where I can go to them for business, where I can go to them for other relationships, on and on. Some of which, quite frankly, that it's just a lot easier sometimes, not always, sometimes it is easier for those who have lived in certain communities. And I don't mean even that you're a U.S. citizen. I mean, like, if you're living in a small rural community and you've lived there all your life and your family is from there and they've lived there all their lives, you're probably going to have a lot easier time establishing those networks than I, as an outsider, would. And so the advantage of starting a family business is that you're pulling your resources together, your networks together, and it's a multiplying effect. So rather than doing this tug of war, this person over there and that person doing their own thing over there and that person doing their own thing, and it's just draining energy and resources, pull it together, make it a multiplier so that you can gain the leverage and kind of get the same footing as your peers who did not have to start where you started from. And I hope that makes sense. Again, you've been listening to Family Business with Daphne. I just kind of want to remind you of where you can get more information, because I know that I'm sharing a lot with you and it's a lot to take in. So to replay this show and to share it with your peers and your family, make sure you go to my blog, DaphneMallory.blogspot.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Daphne Mallory ESQ. Like my Facebook page, and that way it just goes right to your newsfeed. You can also find me on LinkedIn as well, where I post all of my articles and writings and videos and radio shows, etc. I also write for Entrepreneur Magazine. I write on this topic of immigrant entrepreneurship, family business, and emotional intelligence. I'm going to save that one, making that connection to immigration, for a future show. And I also write for the Huffington Post. And locally in my market for Times News Magic Valley, I write a senior living column. That is my baby in terms of writing projects. I really enjoy that column. Basically, I get to talk about senior living issues, etc. And of course, you're listening to 103.9 KDKI FM. So we've been talking about this topic of immigrant entrepreneurship and family business. Talked about the why, giving you some examples to think about. So now, okay, you're like, okay, I'm so excited now. Great, Daphne. Woo, let's go. What do I do tomorrow? How does this work? So, like any other entrepreneur, immigrant or not, the first step is to figure out what it is you are called to do. I will repeat myself on every show if I have to. Trust me, I've lived this. Don't pursue business ideas solely because you think that's the way you're going to make money. Just get a job. If you're going to do that, just go get a job. Go get hired for anything. But to build a family business that's going to take up so much of your time and energy, you are going to have to deal with conflicts. Yes, yep, even the most perfect family out there, when running a family business, will run across conflict. You're going to fight, but then you're going to get over it. And you're going to heal, and it's going to make you that much better as a family. So why waste yourself, I don't know, waste your time doing something that's completely irrelevant to who you are and what you want to be? That makes no sense. You are going to have to at least... Someone in this family venture is going to have to work at least 12 hours, at least 12 hours in the startup phase. And for those of you who, you're going to understand this statement, if you are an immigrant, you get it. That's, you're like, 12 hours, great, whatever. Hard work. I understand that. And that's the advantage of being an immigrant entrepreneur, right? Because you understand those long hours. The one advantage that immigrant entrepreneurs seem to have across the board that I've seen through interviews and through my own life experiences is that we are hard workers. Why? because it's like we feel like we're behind the eight ball and that we have to catch up. So we're always working. Sometimes, quite frankly, to a fault. Sometimes we overdo it. I would definitely say that a lot of immigrants, entrepreneur or not, are guilty of being workaholics. Because there's this, you know, perception of, oh my goodness, I have to catch up. I started from behind. I started with nothing. So I just need to work. And at some point, as an entrepreneur, you really just have to learn how to work smarter, not necessarily longer hours. And we'll talk about that in another show. But why waste 12-hour days on something you hate or that doesn't make sense to your family because you think it's a money-making opportunity? No, trust me, you're going to crash and burn. If you want to be a solo immigrant entrepreneur, okay, that might make sense for you. Not in family business, because you have to deal with the emotions of running a family business. And that just adds more pressure to it. So find what your calling is, whether or not you are an solo entrepreneur or an immigrant entrepreneur or a family business owner, period. Now, the next thing that you need to figure out is once you figure out your call and assignment, get to learning. Yeah, entrepreneurship, you never stop learning. It's a lifelong learning process. And 80% of what you need to know is not going to be found in a book. I said it, 80% of what you need to know, you're not going to find in a book. You are going to have to gain those experiences on your own, through learning from someone else, get some training, and just go for it. Get some experience under your belt. Do not hide behind the books. I know that trick. And you know, a lot of immigrants are bookworms, especially as you're navigating different countries. You know, some people come right to the States. Some people have to hop between other countries. So you've got, and the way that you are able to make it into these countries is you come as a student, right? So you have to kind of show that you're smart. And so you're doing a lot of book knowledge. I get that. But that does not work for the business world. Mm-mm. You're going to learn a whole set of skills that have nothing to do with the books. In fact, in most cases, it's completely contrary to what you're going to find in a typical business book or leadership book. So make sure that you're hitting the ground running. Go and find experiences, learning experiences to grow as an entrepreneur. So, number one skill as an entrepreneur, I always say it, you have to learn how to sell. So, yeah, you might read a few articles or whatever on selling, watch some videos, but then go out and sell. Sell something at a garage sale. Go and sell your products and services. Go and sell your ideas. Sell. Something. Every week, say, this week I am going to sell something. Force yourself to get in that habit. I don't care if you are 10 or if you are 80. Every week, go and try to sell something. They're like, 10? What? You have an age where entrepreneurship starts? Does it start at 16, 18? Voting at what? When you can vote, then you can become an entrepreneur? Of course not. There are young people starting businesses and doing very well, putting me to shame. So don't limit your children and don't limit yourself, little one, if you're watching. Entrepreneurship starts at any age where you are ready to go for it. Learn how to sell. Do not get confined into books, okay? And then after that, you need to get your money right. You need to establish a budget. You need to establish a budget that makes all of us go, oh yeah, that person is serious. Yep, they have cut out this. Cut out. You know, cut out of your budget. You're spending, you know, where you're overspending in certain areas and entertainment and meals and other things. Like, yeah, you cut it out and you say, I'm going to put those funds towards building my businesses, increasing my skill set, buying equipment for my business or whatever. Did I just lose you right there? Were you done with me? Yes. Sacrifices. You have to sacrifice as an entrepreneur. We all do. And so I'm encouraging you to figure out those places in your family budget. Maybe it's that annual family vacation where you have to definitely establish, you know, and trim and cut and let loose of some things. You still want to do this? Yes. Okay. Because I know I can just feel it. Let me remind you of the other side of all of this. Yes, you're making the sacrifices. You're getting rid of the little luxuries that you do have in life and all of these things. What is this all building up towards? Well, what if 3-4 generations from now, and all of those businesses I told you about, by the way, those family businesses I've been interviewing, they're third generation, fourth generation, fifth generation businesses. You know, someone started in one generation and they transferred it all the way down. What if 4 or 5 generations from now, your name is being called? Your grandchildren's children's children are saying, wow, you know, that person in our family came with nothing to this country, started something from the ground up, left something behind. And because of them, I am now a multimillionaire, billionaire, pursuing my dreams, working in the fields as a missionary anytime I want because I have, you know, unbelievable wealth at my disposal, whatever, because of that decision that person made because they cut up their whatever out of their budget. Is that not worth it? That's not a huge reward? That would be to me. That would make my heart sing. So that's what you're doing it for. Think future. Think long term. Don't think about the temporary pain of losing that. I won't even say the name because I might need them to sponsor me later. Subscription service. It's okay. Just cut it out and use it to go sell something like this week. You can do it. And I encourage you to go ahead and do just that. So, have you caught the vision? Have I made myself clear? Are we on board? Are we going to get this done? Can we do it? Yes. Yes, 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 of course we can. So gather your family around the kitchen table or couch or outdoors. Have a conversation. Instill this vision. You need to believe it first, by the way. You know, come to them very clear and determined. You set the pace and you encourage your family to start a family business. You can do it. And if you hang tight with me with this show, follow me on social media through my blogs, through my writings, etc. And more good stuff to come in the near future, which I'll share with you in terms of television projects. We're going to get this done. I think we're all going to look back on this and say, wow, we did this as a family and we did this as a group and we made it happen. You can absolutely, absolutely get it done. And I'm encouraging you to do that. Now, you've been listening to Family Business with Daphne. And again, you can learn more about my show on daphnemallory.blogspot.com. I also have a YouTube channel where I do post all of this, Family Business with Daphne. And if you want to find one spot for all of my information videos and fun stuff. And I get silly sometimes on social media. So if you want to have some fun, I do tend to have some fun. Make sure you go to my Facebook page at Daphne Mallory ESQ. Do not forget the ESQ. So you make sure you have to write Daphne Mallory. If she ain't talking about family business, it's not me. That's a simple way to think about that one. And ultimately, the vision that I want you to think about as well as an immigrant entrepreneur who is starting a family business is that you are going to be the ones to improve your community. So remember what I said when I used to live in Rhode Island and you'd have these families like 4 or 5 under one roof. Then they would start coming out and buying up blocks. Guess what they were doing? They were improving the community. House prices went up. The neighborhoods looked better. There was pride in the neighborhood. People supported one another. This is the story for whether or not you're an immigrant family business owner or not. It's the story of family business. We go on to change our communities. We empower ourselves and make sure that we become the ones that improve our community. So that is your end vision. You don't like where you live, but you like where you live. You be that change agent. And you can absolutely do that. I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Family Business with Daphne, KDKI 103.9 FM.
Somebody says they're having a field day, it usually means they're having a really good time. Amateur radio operators across North America will take part in their annual Field Day event June 28th and 29th. Ham radio is more popular than ever. With its combination of electronics and communication skills, it's no wonder that ham radio remains a national resource and a whole lot of fun. Find a field day site near you at arrl.org/fieldday. Ham radio, on the air from anywhere.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
You know, Ben Franklin once said, "You have a republic, if you can keep it." Yet how will we be able to keep our republic if our young people aren't educated on the basics of this country, on the foundations of our Constitution and the rights and freedoms that it guarantees? I'm Jimmy Sangenberger, president of the Liberty Day Institute, a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to educating youth about the U.S. Constitution and Declaration of Independence, particularly fifth graders. We're looking for your help right now to develop new resources and programs to effectively introduce kids across Colorado and the country to this important document to help keep the republic. To get involved and to donate, go to libertyday.org. That's libertyday.org, because keeping the republic is so crucial to this country.
You wanted to be a teacher when you were little, but as you grew up, things changed. Teaching just didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you decided to become something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Interesting and innovative things are happening in teaching today. So it's time to put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.